News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Good morning and welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. With me, like always, is Rick Van Dyvendyke. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Jay.
Here we are. It is already July 19th. I cannot believe that.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? Not bad for weather. We've kind of had a mix of everything this past week throughout Saskatchewan. We've had some wild winds in some cases, some tornado, you know, watches and stuff. And then, you know, I mean, just throughout the week, it seems like there was kind of, you know, showers and thunderstorms on and off. It's kind of been doing that around the province. And that looks like what's going to be the case for maybe today and tomorrow. And then it's supposed to be, you know, fairly warm and hot after that and sunny, which is, you know, always good to see. I think that's all right. Has the rain, do you think, that we've gotten recently, Rick, been good for plants and stuff? Is that sufficient or keep watering?
I would say check.
Check, okay.
Use the rebar.
Yes.
Checking, you know, especially if it's from new plantings. Because a lot of people, if your plant starts wilting, you don't just start watering, please. Check the soil, because wilting could mean you overwater it too. So especially in some of the clays in some of the cities. Use a piece of rebar, 3/8 rebar, stick it down. It has ribs on the side of it. When you poke it down to the bottom of the planting, poke it down to the bottom of the planting hole.
Okay.
The bottom of the planting hole is usually for trees, is usually around 2 feet down, right? 16, 18, 2 feet, 24 inches down. For shrubs, it's around 12 inches down. So just check that, and then you'll know for sure. Those ribs will bring up either, even though I can't poke it down, that means it's bone dry, it's hard, okay? Or you can just push it down with one hand, and you bring it up, and it's dripping, and it's soaking wet. In that case, you need to aerate.
Right.
Poke lots of holes.
Right, yeah.
And with the mulches everybody puts in the yards, you can't tell whether it's wet or dry. So don't go on a schedule. Just go by what the plants need.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Let's talk about, first we'll say this, 1-877-332-8255. That's where you call and you text. Same number, and we probably have some texts that have rolled in here as well. But we're going to start the show by talking about a couple things that you've been getting lots of calls and people coming into the garden center asking about.
The one, number one is their tomatoes are getting blotchy and turning yellow, okay? And that's because of the inconsistent watering. So you've had tomatoes starting to come on your plants now, but you're wondering, why does it look kind of weird? The leaves look kind of weird and leaves turning yellow. Inconsistent watering is the number one reason. You have to be very careful. Don't go wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry. Tomatoes don't like that. And especially in the end, you'll get what's called blossom end rot, which is the black end of your tomato. Okay, so you don't want that. So try to be consistent in your watering, especially with all this high humidity we've had right now. Well, especially because, and try to water also on the ground instead of over top of the leaves. We've had a lot of issues also with powdery mildew, and that looks like a white fuzzy on the leaves.
Okay.
And that has to do with a lot of the humidity we've had with all this rain.
Yep.
You know, off and on in the heat and the rain and the heat and the rain, you get, and also your lawn sprinklers hitting some of your plants, you know, especially at nighttime, watering at night. So try not to water at night.
Okay.
Try to make sure that if you don't water at night, water as early in the morning as you can, and so that the sun can dry off the leaves as soon as possible, and that's the best way to stop that. The other thing I've been getting lots of calls about is people are wondering why there's spruce trees all of a sudden turning brown, right at the tips of the trees.
Yeah, I've seen that, sure.
And all of a sudden, they take a look at it, and they see little caterpillars on them, and it's called the sawfly larva. It's a caterpillar from a sawfly. Within days, they start eating all the needles. First, all the new needles, then they start working on the old needles. See, if you see that happening, you need to get on it, like, right away, because it only takes a couple of days, because there's hundreds of those caterpillars just eating needles like crazy. So you need to take care of that. And the last thing I've really been seeing right now is people calling in, and they're starting to see fire blight on both Contoniaster and on their apple trees. And that's when you start seeing a rusty brown leaves showing up in the Contoniaster hedges or in the apple trees. And you'll see it starting where the blooms were, where the flowers were, and then it works its way down the branches. If you do see that, you need to get a diagnosis pretty quickly, because it'll start spreading right down the branches to the main trunk. Once it gets to the main trunk, your tree is there's no help for it anymore. but you need to prune those branches out, and you need to sterilize your pruners after every cut. Otherwise, you could spread the virus into the rest of the plant.
Okay, 1-877-332-8255. A couple things that are, you know, happening around common around right now. I think we answered this first text by what you talked about just as we opened the show. But Wanda in Saskatoon says, my tomato plants have yellow leaves at the base. Is it a watering issue?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So, watering issue, and also watch for nutrient level, because if you haven't fertilized it all this summer, they're running out too. So use an organic quick start fertilizer.
Okay.
You can get that pretty much anywhere. It has low nitrogen, but it has all the kinds of micronutrients in it. Or you can just use what I talked about before. It's inexpensive fertilizer, and you just use an alfalfa pellet, and you use it, mix it with a tea, 2 cups to 5 gallons of water, let it steep overnight, and then you can fertilize those plants at least once a week, especially your tomatoes and that, and you'll see big, good results, and you won't see so many yellow leaves either. But inconsistent watering is number one.
Okay. Not sure who this is from, but it says, hi, guys. What can I use to kill potato bugs? Diatomaceous earth doesn't seem to do anything. Diratox worked, but no longer available. Does 7 or, I think he, DECIS, D-E-C-I-S, does 7 or DECIS work?
Yeah, they work, but you can't buy them anymore.
So they're gone, too.
They're gone, too. So you can spray your plants with Ambush. You can do that.
Okay.
But you got to be careful. You don't want to spray when the bees are around during the day, okay?
So spray it later into the evening.
Later in the evening when the bee's gone to sleep.
Okay.
Or otherwise, you can also, your old organic way is go out there with an ice cream pail and pick away.
Yeah.
And look at the underside of the leaves, too, because you'll see the little egg masses, too. And if you get those, you can cut off a whole bunch of them after they hatch, because there's a lot of eggs there. And if you can catch those egg masses in the bottom side of the leaves, that'll help a lot.
It's, of course, just never the way anybody wants to go about it. You know, the old school hard way of doing it. You know, everybody would love a better, easier way to spray or something.
Next year, I had a lot of callers call me up and say, you know what, next year when you plant a potato, put a slice of onion, a part of an onion with your potatoes.
Okay.
And that's supposed to keep away the potato bugs as well.
Oh, okay. So try that when you're planting next time. Okay.
Planting next time, plant a slice of a bigger slice of onion, put it in beside the potatoes, and then gets absorbed into the plant, and the potato bugs don't like that.
Okay. This is from somebody named Fern in Saskatoon, a fitting name to call the garden center, garden line. That's perfect. Good morning. I've got a trumpet honeysuckle. This is the second year that she's had it. Says had lots of green leaves and flowers. In the last few weeks, the leaves are turning yellow and they're dropping off. I've sprayed it with Safer's 3-in-1. What else can I do? It's just about bare.
Yeah, yellow watching, don't overwater, okay?
Mm.
If it's turning yellow, it's probably overwatering.
Yep.
Or it could be underwatering, but most likely overwatering. So again, probe the soil, just like I was saying, with a piece of rebar is the easiest thing. It's the cheapest little probe you can buy. Just go down to your hardware store, Home Depot, Rona, whatever you have,
yes,
hardware store, and pick up a short piece of rebar and then stick it in the ground and then check the moisture. If it's yellow leaves, it has something to do with moisture at the roots.
Right. Okay, let's get one more in from Sharon in Saskatoon. Can I fertilize one more time this summer with that groundkeeper fertilizer, or should I just wait till the fall fertilizing?
Nope. Right now, we're still in the middle, basically in the middle of July.
Yep.
Now is a great time to fertilize your lawns, and you're kind of at the end of your shrubs, but if you haven't done it all for a long time, you can still do it once yet right now. But otherwise, your lawn, you can do it once now, and you can use the groundkeepers again in September.
Now, does groundkeeper make a fall fertilizer, Rick? Have we seen?
Basically, you can use the same one because it's such a low nitrogen. It's only a 16.
Okay.
Because it has the sulfur in it and it has the iron in it, you don't need as much nitrogen because it makes the plants take up the nutrients way more efficiently.
Right.
So then you don't need as much. So that's why you can use this one all season long.
Okay, so even in the fall, that last fertilizer that we do kind of before the wind, you know, snow falls, we can use that same groundkeeper for the fall.
Perfect.
Okay, that's good to know. Let's take a quick break. We're going to get Debbie's text on, Rod and Regina as well. And looks like we've got Gene on the line who's going to join us on the phones after we get back. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks for joining us in Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke, who's on the phone, which is kind of the new way we do things around here. Okay, Rick, we've got some texts to get to from Sharon, Debbie, Rod. Who else has rolled in here? We've got, looks like, Jeff in Mooseman, Sean in Melford, Jeff in Weyburn. So all over the province. We're going to go everywhere. But right now we're going to take another call. Ready to go?
Yep.
All right, here we go. We're going to go to Regina right now and talk to Jean. Hi, Jean.
Hi, good morning. Enjoy your show as always.
Aw, thanks.
Just doing some cleanup the other day, and I found some tulips, not tulips, narcissus and daffodils that I had planned on forcing over the winter and didn't happen, or forcing in the spring. Just wondering if it's too late to put them out even in just in pots and then plant them back in the fall properly, or whether I should just try and maintain them as firm bulbs for another few weeks.
Well, if you put them in the ground right now, the problem is that they need a cold spell to be able to push up anyways, right?
Yes, like I'm not worried about them blooming. I just want to maintain them as long as.
Yeah. So what's going to happen if you plant them now? They're going to start rooting. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And then your best is to, you could do that right now, or you can maintain them through the fall. It wouldn't really matter. Just make sure that you plant them in the ground in the fall. Once the time comes to start them next year, or do you want to keep them for next spring for forcing again?
No, I just want to get them out.
Yeah, you could do it either way. Doesn't matter. You can either hold them or you can plant them.
Okay.
How do they feel? They feel solid still?
Yeah, they do. Yes.
Yeah. So you can either maintain them or you can plant them. It wouldn't really matter. Either way.
Either or. If I put them in the fridge now for a week or two, would that be enough to force? Like, would they bloom late this fall? Would that be detrimental to them?
The problem is they're not going to have enough time to boost up energy to go again in the spring.
Right.
Because they need time once they bloom to regain the energy to bloom again next spring.
Right.
So I wouldn't want to do that. I'd rather just let the winter time do the change for them.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Jean. Take care.
Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, Rick, we're going to go over to the text line now because they keep rolling in, which is good. Lots of questions are coming in right now. Next text that we got, I believe, was Debbie, who's in Regina. Says, love the show. Is it true that if you plant a red and green rhubarb next to each other, your red plant will turn green? What do you think?
I've never tried it, so I don't know.
I didn't realize there was two types. Like, I thought all rhubarb just went red. No,
well, you can get some ones that are more green inside and the ones that are red. So, but they should genetically stay the same. Okay, let's put it that way. Genetically, they should stay the same.
You know, Debbie, give it a shot. Tell us what happens, and we'll report that to everybody. Yeah, but that's sorry, we don't have the exact answer for you, but that's interesting.
I would think genetics would say that they should stay the same.
Okay. Rod in Regina at 1-877-332-8255. That's the text line. My sweet pea leaves have a bunch of holes in them. I sprayed the sweet peas with malathion. It appears I'm still getting holes in the leaves, but also a lot of leaves have crusty patches from that malathion. Is it bad for the sweet peas, and should I use something else to kill whatever's eating the leaves?
Yeah, the problem is if they're eating the leaves, you probably have a flea beetle or something like that that's coming and going. So only the malathion only works as a contact.
Like if you actually
unless you actually hit the beetle or pest or whatever, there's no residual, so it won't stay on the leaf and kill it when the bug comes back.
Right.
So that's the problem when you got something like that. Is that I would suggest just keep your sweet peas healthy and growing. You know, we're using a vegetable, organic vegetable fertilizer around that sweet pea as well, and just keep it growing, and it'll be fine. Even if the bugs, you know, unless the bugs totally eat it, destroy it, every bit of leaf, but I don't think they are. They're putting holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, just keep it growing and you'll be fine.
Okay. Here's another similar question. Was a caller that called in but couldn't stick around. Jean in Saskatoon said she has a rose bush that seems like something's eaten the leaves of that as well. A rose bush.
So there's a whole bunch of things that could be on the rose. Right now, I'm getting a lot of people calling in about the beak leaf cutters. And what they do is they eat a half moon shape out of the leaf. And the problem with that is I don't like really killing them. Because, you know, we need the bees, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, but otherwise, it's really hard to hit them as well because, again, it's just like the beetle before on the sweet peas. The bee comes and goes because you're not going to hit it right on with any insecticide. So you have to put a screen cover over top of the rose, which kind of defeats the purpose. You kind of want to see the roses. But that's about the only way you're going to keep the leaf cutter. And there again, I suggest just keep the leaf, just keep the shrub growing, and because the leaf cutter is never going to just take all the leaves anyways, and the rose will be just fine.
Okay, perfect. Jeff and Mooseman's got a text for us. We're going to keep going. We've got some time here to the bottom of the hour news update. He says, Rick, my evergreens look really poor. Help me. What do I do?
Two things. If your evergreens, well, actually three things that are getting the evergreens right now. Number one is needle cast disease. So if you think you might have needle cast disease, just look up Colorado spruce needle cast disease, and you'll see some pictures and close-up pictures, and then you can sort of compare. That's the biggest issue that's happening right now, and you have to take care of that with the copper spray. That's about the only way. You got to spray it three times this year and three times next year,
mm-hmm.
14 days apart, okay? The other one is spider mite. That's when you start turning the branches, turning a bit of the needles turn gray on the inside, and then they turn brown from the inside out, from the ground up. And that's spider mite. The other one right now, of course, I just talked about earlier, is the sawfly. It's just rapidly go through your plants and turn all brown, and then you can hit that with Malathion or Ambush or even BTK, which is a biological, more environmentally friendly. And that one there, because it only attacks caterpillars, and that's what that one is.
Okay. 1-877-332-8255. This is from Sean in Melfort. Good morning. Our broccoli seems to be getting kind of a growth callus-looking thing at the base of them right by the ground. Any idea what that is?
Usually, if you've got a growth, it's usually a gall, okay?
A gall.
And that's from an insect which puts a spit into a sucking insect.
Oh.
Puts a spit into the stem, and it causes a growth, which then that growth they use for putting your eggs in and all that kind of stuff, right?
Oof.
Usually when I see a growth at the stem, that's usually what it is. And you see it on trees, you see it on shrubs, you'll see it on oak trees, you'll see it on a bunch of different things. You'll see it on linden trees, but you can see it on some vegetables as well. So if they want, they can just send a picture of it if they want to rick@dutchgrowers.com. Then I can take a look at it, but I have a feeling that it's probably just an insect gall.
And it might be best just to send a picture anyways, you know, just to confirm that. We've got a couple more texts in. We've got Jeff in Weyburn's text. Have you heard of using flowers as pest control in vegetable gardens, like marigolds for potatoes and stuff?
Absolutely. Marigolds, insects don't like marigolds. In the old days, you used to use marigolds for insects and keeping the rabbits out of the gardens.
Oh.
So just planting a row of marigolds all the way around the garden.
And, you know, that's probably still a good practice, because there's lots of places, you know, that, like, for example, where I live in Martinsville, just outside of Saskatoon, the rabbits still are in the neighborhood, you know.
Oh, there's lots of rabbits around.
There's tons. I mean, even in Saskatoon, even in Regina, there are certainly rabbits. But when you go to some of the smaller communities that are new, it's like they built built houses kind of near rabbits' dens and stuff, and the rabbits kind of running around going, well, where'd all this come from? You know, we kind of moved in on them, it seems. So there's still plenty of rabbits, you know, booting around.
Lots of rabbits. So also, Jay, is that if you really want to find out more and more about, look into or Google, whatever you want to do, look into companion planting. It's called companion planting for vegetables. And there's what vegetables you can plant together that benefit each other. Okay.
So okay.
Look into that companion planting for vegetables, and there's a lot you can do, things like those marigolds and things like that you can plant beside each other, and then it helps them out.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. A news update for everybody right now. Diane in Hodgeville, going to get her text. Wendy in Warman, and we had a call, but looks like it's disappeared. So we'll keep going with some text when we get back. It's a good time to get onto the show if you've got a question right now, something about not going right in your yard. 1-877-332-8255. Call or text that number. I'm Jay Thomas, the Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. Okay, Rick, we had somebody call us over the break and tell us that they have several different varieties of rhubarb, and that they're all different colors, and they've all stayed the colors that they were supposed to stay.
Just so, like when you plant two different apple trees beside each other, then they're not going to produce a different apple.
Right. So we had did have a text earlier asking if we if possibly that they would change each other, and that I think was from Debbie in Regina. And from all accounts, Debbie, it sounds like that's not going to happen. Maybe it's an old wives' tale or a myth. And if it does happen, well, let us know. But it sounds like it shouldn't be happening because of genetics, right?
You're correct.
Okay, let's go to we got a text line that's got some new text on it, but we've got a couple people waiting. Linda in Regina is going to be next. But speaking of rhubarb, let's go talk to Paul, who's in Saskatoon. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, guys. Is this a two-hour show?
No, today we're just doing 1 hour.
Oh, geez, you guys. That's too bad.
Oh, thanks.
But anyways, this is a wonderful part of the season. I had a dinner party the other day. And, I had steak and everything. The most popular item on my menu was the fresh salad.
Oh, awesome.
They could not believe it. And just for your viewers so they know, kale. Kale is very easy to grow. It's robust. It grows very well. And
I'll bet you it tastes better coming out of a local garden than it does out of the grocery store, too, doesn't it?
Exactly. And it's $3.47 for 7 little leaves.
And you know what? You know what? Also, is that right now, if you wanted to plant kale, there's almost enough time to plant things like kale, lettuce, other lettuces, even some radishes, and they'll still produce before the fall cold comes.
So there's still time.
Well, Rick, I grow that all winter.
That's cool. Yep.
Undercover. It doesn't grow fast, but it doesn't die. It's very, very hardy. I think this is a rhubarb day because I've been cutting my rhubarb off, and I've been told that you're supposed to pull it. It's better for the plant. Is that correct?
That is correct. You're better to pull it than it is cut it.
Okay, and that makes it's healthier for the plant, right?
It's better for the plant than a cut.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I hope we get back to the two-hour shows, guys.
We'll do our best. Thanks, Paul.
We've got to pay you more, Rick. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Take care. Thanks for being a great listener, Paul. Really appreciate it. All right, 1-877-332-8255. We'll get to the text line next, but waiting in Regina is Linda. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Hi there. What's your question for us?
Well, I have peony plants, about 5 of them, and they all bloomed. And this last week, I looked at them, and they're all stripped of leaves.
They're all stripped of leaves. You must have. You better check. You must have had a caterpillar come in through. Like right now, I'm looking out my yard, and I got a caterpillar nest in my mountain ash right now, which I've never seen this time of the year in the mountain ash, but there is one. And So take a look. You probably have a caterpillar that came through, just like I had a person call me the other day. They said 3 or 4 days ago they had. They noticed their spruce tree along their driveway was totally good, and then 3 or 4 days later, all the leaves were stripped off by these caterpillars. So just do an inspection, and if you do have the caterpillars, you can use a product called BTK.
BTK?
Bob, Tom, Ken. Yeah, Bob, Tom, Ken. BTK.
Okay.
And that's a biological, so it's safe for other insects, it's safe for you, and it'll stop the caterpillars from chewing, and it's a good one that's... you can spray it on before the caterpillars, even then it's a good preventive as well.
I have another question. My beets never, the leaves are all eaten off. My peas are eaten. And Swiss chard is all eaten. The leaves are all eaten. Is that a caterpillar or is that the birds?
No, that sounds like, to me, it sounds like that flea beetle. But the flea beetles, you probably don't have any problem now, are you, anymore? With it? That would be earlier, wasn't it?
I tried covering them up, so I thought it was the birds, and I looked just a little while ago, and they're not doing too good anymore.
Yeah, they probably got hurt by the flea beetle, but now the canola crops are out in full bloom now.
Mm-hmm.
Flea beetles usually moved off to the canola crops now, but... But that's all the plants that you mentioned, that's one of their favorite foods, so...
Oh, jeez. Okay.
You got to cover them earlier. That's what you got to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right.
All right. Take care, Linda. Thanks a lot. 1-877-332-8255. We're going over the text line right now. This is a rose question. It says, good morning. I got a question about a Morden Centennial Rose. Yep, I want to get it to rebloom after the first initial bloom is done. I fertilized it, but I do believe it's in the cutting of the old stem. And do I deadhead the flowers? How do I get it to bloom?
Deadhead the flowers, important. As soon as the flowers are done, deadhead them. It's Centennial, it's a Morton Research release out of Manitoba. And it has pink flowers, great big, and lots of these pink flowers. So just make sure that you give it nutrients, obviously, it needs. Mm-hmm. You need new growth happening, so use a 20-20-20 is a good one for those ones, or even the 30-10-10, but 20-20-20 is probably even better for the roses. And then deadhead the roses once they finish blooming, and they'll keep re-blooming all summer long.
Okay, there you go. What was the
one
next
thing to remember about roses?
Yep.
Jay, one thing to remember about roses, once we get to the September long weekend, don't deadhead them anymore. You want them to get ready for winter time. Otherwise, you'll get some winter damage during the next winter. If you keep them growing, if you keep them blooming right through till October, you could have some trouble.
Right, right. Okay. Diane in Hodgeville says, good morning, Rick. We live on a farm and have a large front and back lawn. What does that say? But Buttercup oxalis has moved in and it's taking over.
Okay.
Ground sorrel, it was also called by Diane. I can't believe how fast it spread. Could you tell me my best plan of attack?
I would think that you should be able to use I would try, first of all, the herbicide with the iron in it. So I think it's called Weed Be Gone.
Yep.
And it has iron in it. It doesn't have 2,4-D, but it has iron in it. And that will probably get it the quickest. And try that first, and you should be able to keep it. You may need to overseed as well to get the grass thicker, because if the grass gets thicker, it will compete with it and will choke it out as well.
Okay. So
you might have to overseed a bit to get it to your grass to thicken up.
Gotcha. Okay, there we go. That should help there. Wendy and Warman says, good morning. We like the show a lot. Great information. What kind of fertilizer should I apply to my sour cherry tree? It was a high producer last year, and this year, not many berries.
Okay, so if it wasn't a good producer, what I would suggest you doing is either use the alfalfa pellet tea, because it has all kinds of micronutrients in it. You don't want a lot of nitrogen. Sour cherries do not like a lot of nitrogen. If you fertilize them with a high nitrogen on sour cherries, they won't produce. That's a well-known fact, okay? And so use a low-nitrogen organic fertilizer, and that's the best thing to use for those. And you can do that once right now, and then once again early spring, but not a high nitrogen. You don't want to use a 20-20-20. You don't want to use a 30-10-10. Otherwise, the cherries... they will say, I'm doing just fine. I don't need to reproduce myself. You need to almost stress them a bit. And what you should do this fall also, if you wanted to produce next spring, is give it a bit of a pruning. That's a bit of a stress factor for the plants when you prune them as well. And then they'll produce way better for you next year.
Okay. 1-877-332-8255. Marianne in Regina says, I put my amaryllis inside its existing pot outside outdoors this spring.
Perfect.
It's blooming now, which it didn't do last Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
My question is, when I bring it inside in August, what do I need to do to get it to bloom inside the house for Christmas?
Okay, so what you want to do, first of all, in August, you want to leave it outside a little bit longer. I don't want to be outside when it freezes, okay, so risk of frost, but I want it to get cool, okay? Then what I want to do is, when I want to bring it inside after I've had some cool evenings, you know, down around 3, 4, 5 degrees, but not freezing. And then what I want to do is bring it indoors, and you can put it back outside during the day as well, because those cool evenings and less light will help trigger it as well. And then what I want to do about the end of September, beginning of October, I want to pull it out of the pot, and I want to replant it either in the same pot or in another pot. Doesn't matter. You can put it right back in the same pot, but you're just going to pull it out and replant it. That'll give it the shock enough to restart setting up its bloom again for Christmas.
Okay, perfect. Let's take a quick break. We've got Marie's text. We've got Caleb. Where else? A text from Saskatoon about a Virginia creeper. Pat's text. Darlene. Kevin in Regina. So we're going to get to all these in kind of the last segment of the show coming up right away. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks again for joining us on Garden Talk. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. All right, Rick, we have got some text to get to, so we're going to do that for the last segment of the show here, and we're going to get through as many as we can. The next text came from Marie. Good morning. Years ago, I had a major battle with potato beetles. We were talking about that earlier in the show. Yep. I got tired of picking and did not like using the powder. Discovered the following trick and haven't seen potato beetles since. She says plant bush beans of any kind with the potatoes. I usually plant a row on either side of my potato patch. So, bush beans. Then you get the beans, too, from those, right?
See, that's what I was talking about. There's lots of companion planting you can do, and there's lots more you can figure out. And that's a good one. Bush beans on either side of your potatoes.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I guess that acts as kind of a barrier. And if the potato bugs don't like those plants, they're not going past them, right?
Yep.
There you go.
And some plants act as an attractor to keep them away from other plants, right?
Right.
So this one, I'm not sure what the scenario is that the bush beans do for the potatoes, but there's all kinds of scenarios that you can really not figure out, but it works.
Yeah, can't explain, but it works. Exactly. Yep. Okay, this is from Caleb from Main Prize, Saskatchewan. I'm landscaping my backyard after terracing my back hill. The soil is really sand and clay. Do I need to haul in topsoil, or can I just plant grass? What's the best time to plant grass in the fall?
You can plant grass anytime right now if you want. Grass will germinate within 5 to 7 days.
Yep.
And so as long as you're around to water it, you can do it anytime. From now until about the middle of September. After the middle of September, then I like to wait until almost the middle to the end of October. Then I'll sow my seed, but it'll come out. It'll germinate next year, not this year.
And I mean, probably the earlier the better, honestly, right? Because you get it going now in July, and there's lots of growing time left to get it thick and strong to make it through the winter, right?
And that's a good point there, Jay, because a lot of people wondering ask that same question all the time. Is that, can I plant my lawn? Can I plant my shrubs and trees in the summertime? Or they think that because farmers plant their crops in the spring and we plant our gardens in the spring, that's the only time we plant trees and shrubs and grass. But no, you can plant them all season long because the grass is grass seed. It'll grow, and the shrubs and trees are all in pots. And so as long as you don't go on holidays for 2 weeks right after you plant them, because they'll basically die, and you can plant right up until freeze up on the shrubs and trees and the lawn. Like I said, up to about September 15th, not a problem.
For Caleb's, the first half of his question was, does he have to pull out the clay and the sand and put topsoil in?
It'd be better to have topsoil, honestly. You can amend your soil, you know, add some organics into it and rototill it into it if you can. And especially more sticks and those kind of things, like good organics that break up the clay. Because one thing about clay and sand do, clay and sand together, clay sand fills up all the air gaps in the clay, and it makes concrete.
Yep.
So you're gonna have a really hard lawn, and your lawn won't do as well with clay and sand mixed. Okay.
Okay.
That'll be a problem.
This is from Pat in Saskatoon. I've got a Virginia creeper. Is it too late to spray it with malathion? Is it too late to spray a Brandon cedar with malathion? I've sprayed in the past two times. However, wants to get the third application on.
Nope. No. Now's the perfect time to do it.
Just fine.
Just make sure it's not above 25 degrees.
Okay, so a little cooler, yeah.
A little cooler, but otherwise, yes, you can still do it.
Darlene is in Regina, asks, the potatoes are so tall and still blooming, can I prune the plants?
I've never been a fan of pruning the potatoes. I mean, some people do. I just let them do their natural thing, and you'll get your tubers still anyway. So.
Okay. Kevin in Regina, each year about this time, my snow on the mountain begins to turn rusty and gets worse right to the end of the year. In the spring, it comes back healthy, but then it starts to rust again around mid-July. Any ideas?
If it turns rusty, then it has something to do with either watering with your lawn sprinklers, especially in the evening, over the top of the plants. That could be from that. Or it could be something in the soil, but most likely from watering over top of the plant. If you want to prevent that, then just spray it with Bordeaux or copper spray. And spray it every 10 to 14 days, and that should prevent that from happening.
Tom in Saskatoon says, hi, guys. Any type of nutrients you can give your tomatoes if they have been over or underwater to bring the leaves back to green from yellow? And like we said earlier, Tom, use the alfalfa pellets, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And that's going to be a good nutrient source.
Because potatoes are fairly aggressive feeders, okay? And so you do need nutrients there. And one thing about using too much compost, you'll get also what's called potato scab.
It was tomatoes, Rick.
Tomatoes, sorry. Yeah. So just consistent watering, number one, and also there again, the turning yellow on the bottom, nutrients, but no nitrogen nutrients.
Okay, perfect. We had a comment from Elaine in Spring Valley. We were talking earlier about rose bushes and getting, things eating them. Elaine says that TKO orange and peels of citrus, so sprays it around the rose bushes.
Okay.
That's interesting. Keep them kind of away without harming. You were talking about it's a cutter wasp
bee,
right? So,
yep.
Interesting.
You just want to distract them. You don't want to kill them.
Exactly. Just kind of go somewhere else instead.
Yep.
Go find some other flowers, right?
Yep.
There's lots of other wildflowers growing around that they can go and take care of.
Exactly.
We got another text here. When should I plant grass seed? Well, we just kind of answered that.
Yep.
Right now, and up until the fall. Regina Beach has Laura there, and she asks, she has a fir tree about 15 feet. It's got 4 liters. How many and when should I remove them?
What kind of plant was it again, sorry?
A fir tree.
And it's 4 fingers, so it has 4 new stems coming up.
It's got 4 different leaders, but it's 15 feet tall.
Okay, so what I would do then is that basically wait until the end of August, and then you can prune. I suggest prune 2 of them off, leave 2 of them there.
Okay.
And then the following year, then take the last one off.
And decide which one goes up.
Decide which one you want.
I've seen actually some fir trees driving around recently. We noticed that there are some that have, multiple leaders going up, and they're old trees. So.
Yeah, and that could be from, could have been a robin landed on them and broke the original one.
Yep.
And then it'll fork off and produce more.
There's
usually some kind of damage that happened.
There's about 3 or 4 texts we haven't got to yet, but thanks for joining us. We'll text you after the show. That's pretty much it. We're out of time now.
It goes fast.
It goes fast. So see you same time, same place next weekend. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.